Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 569. It's the 26th of August, 2016. On the podcast today, technical analyst Nicola Duke, because it's a Friday, every Friday Nicola's on, looks at Premier Oil, Independent Oil and Gas, CloudTag, Highland Natural Resources, and Starcom. And you can see these charts on the Vox Markets blog, all annotated by Nicola. Also on the podcast, Simon French, Chief Economist, at Panmure Gordon, talks about Fed head, Janet Yellen, of course, Japanese inflation, and Brexit, a word he's hoping to coin. I also have today's top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. There's a new number one. Have a guess what it is. I'll reveal that in a bit. Also on the podcast, a new feature, because starting Monday on the app for Vox Markets, you'll have the ability to like and dislike RNSs. So I thought, why not try it? It's already available on the website. But I'm going to do most liked and disliked RNSs from the week. I got the top three most liked and two most disliked. Plus, I have today's suggested one for your watch list. It's a revisit, this one, because the company has gone through some development. When this company was first suggested, the share price is nearly double from where it is, but I still believe it's worth putting on your watch list completely. A lot of upside here. And so I'm going to be doing that in a bit, and that is Berkley Energia, BKY. I do hold stock in this company for transparency, but it's worth doing some research on. And there's been a weakness in the share price recently, and I haven't seen that for a while. Because it's a big momentum play. So I'll read that out. And why Mark originally suggested this, I'll also read out his reasons in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
It's a Friday. Joining me on the podcast is the lady with the technicals, the Duchess of the Charge, Nicola Duke. You all right, Nick?
Hello. Yes, very good. Thank you.
How's the week been for you?
Hot and lovely. And see, I'm going to unfollow everybody who complains about the weather. I think it's lovely.
Yeah. No, listen, don't unfollow me. But I went to London yesterday.
And I did find it
very close and very, especially on the tubes. It's like, whoa, this is like a sauna, you know? So I stripped down to my towel and it's all right there. Okay, let's look at some stocks then, Nick. So I've been sent in by the people of Twitter, Vox and all that stuff. So you can probably tell I'm stalling here because I'm trying to find the email sent to you. All right.
Oh, dear, first one is Premier Oil.
That's it, PMO. We had Malkews, an oil sector and gas authority here. And there's big risk reward here. They've got a bit of debt, this company. But if it looks like they're going to clear this debt, they could take off. You know, PMO, what do you reckon?
PMO could take off. It's got everything lined up in the right order. At the beginning of August, it came back. You know, we broke above the 200-day moving average in May. We came back and tested it at the beginning of August and rallied really nicely for 2 weeks. We're just having a bit of a breather. Mm-hmm. I think we could retrace a little bit further, maybe to 86.50, which was the 50% of that big August rally. And I think if we can hold there, we should continue higher. So it's not a screaming buy today. We're at 71, we're around 71.50 now. I think, 86.50, 50% retracement of that really strong start of the month rally looks good.
This would be my play on this stock, right? The MACDs are rolling over, right? So it's going to come off. Yeah, it's going to come off a little bit.
By the time we get back there, I think that they'll bottom out and that we won't be pointing the wrong direction anymore. So
yeah,
but it's probably going to take a week or two.
Yeah, exactly. But this is what I'm thinking. So they're going to roll over, maybe retest a little bit, maybe run about 60, come down a little bit. So if you know, if I'd buy at 60, I would think hopefully won't go below that 52, 53 level it went down to before. There's a gap there as well.
Yeah.
That's a good support there, isn't it? So if it goes below that, it may be a bit of a problem there. But I mean,
right.
You know, that's
what I'm... You know, the 200-day moving average is at 56. Every day that we're above, we are pulling it higher.
Yeah.
So don't think because we're moving back towards it that we're going to push it down. We're not. Every day that we're above it, we'll pulling it up towards us. And so, that could be right. You know, so the 61.8 retracement would be about 63.50. So 66.50, 63.50, I'd like to see it really hold those levels.
Cool. IOG, Independent Oil and Gas, and they announced, you see those candles in a daily chart there, they had a gap down, and that was because their secondary target, they were drilling some wells there, but not their primary target, secondary target didn't stack up properly, and so they plugged it. And so that's the big gap down. But they rebounded. So they're at 27.3 pence at the moment. Where do you reckon? Where are they going? IOG.
IOG, yeah, this one is not quite so compelling. I really like it, but the rally from the start of the 2016 low is awesome. But I think that we need a two-leg correction lower. So we're either going to find support at the 50% retracement again of the 2016 rally, which is at 2090, which is and tag the 50-day, and we're going to bounce from there. Or we're going to do a full kind of ABC correction and come back to about, I know, don't scream everybody, about 1480, which is where the 200-day, so it's not a buy here. We need a bit of patience. If you are long, like we're still above important moving averages. If you own this, I would protect your profits. You know, we've bounced off the support, you know, previous resistance becomes support. So the midsummer 2015 highs around sort of 21, that's where we've bounced off. It's going to come back and retest them. We might hold it on the next go, and then it's a great buy there. Otherwise, I think we'll dip just a bit lower, 1680. We shouldn't go below 1470. If we do, it's not going to come back. So
marvelous.
That's
right.
Where you would be wrong. But so this one again, I think this one needs a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay, on the podcast yesterday, I had CEO of CloudTag. That's Amit Ben-Haim, and it's a hugely popular stock. I discovered this yesterday, and I got retweets, loads of retweets, loads of new followers, and good reception to that podcast. I just asked investor questions, and but it shot up very. Have you seen how fast it shot up from? Look at that. Where was that? What date was that? On the 25th of May. 26th of May,
so it
shot up from 3 pence, doubled, more than doubled.
Amazing rally in May. And then we retraced exactly half of that amazing rally. Mm-hmm. Well, actually half from the 2016 low. So we've retraced 50%. That's normally bullish and you'd like to see it higher. But what we haven't seen is any impulse. It's really struggled to get higher and it's made a kind of lower high. I think again that this one is either going to make a wedge pattern that we can buy, so it's going to retest that low back at 415, or I think that we'll go a little bit slightly lower and retest the 200-day, and my screaming buy level if we get there is 350. I'm really sorry, CloudTag people, because I know everybody loves this stock, and I long term I am bullish. You know, I think that low in February was the low, and I think it just needs to retrace a bit more and then it'll be on its way to new highs. So like our next, then from there, if we buy at 3.5, we project a rally from there to about 8.7, but it's just not ready yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes when you see a rise like that, you know, some steam has to come out of it a little bit, doesn't it, to settle down and consolidate
and
a bit.
That's what it's doing. It's just not ready to buy again yet. But believe me, I get asked about this one all the time. I watch it all the time. I'm watching it now. I'm wrong, and it's on its way again. If we get above... about 6.4, but I don't think we will. I think that we're looking at another retest of those July lows and potentially a little bit lower, but not much.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Cloud Tag people.
That's all right. Well, listen, it gives other people the opportunity to get in if they believe in the story there.
Exactly.
Okay, and the next one is Highland Natural Resources, HNR.
I'm going to be nice about this one because I do like this one a lot. It's formed a wedge, so that July 27th low, we've tested it again in the beginning of August, and then 5 days, held it really nicely, really nice rally today. I like this one to continue higher from here, to break out for another leg higher. And I'm just going to move it up to the resistance is at 3150. So we're going to retest 3150. I think we'll break it. And I am looking to 3750, 38 next.
Okay, let's look at next one. Is Starcom, STAR. And I know it's quite popular on Twitter. I know a couple of people follow this and they've been talking about this for a while. And it's above its 200-day moving averages here, isn't it? Across that and just staying above it by the looks of it. Looks quite nice, doesn't it?
Looks really nice, yeah. So since the start of August, all the moving averages have lined up. 20s crossed above the 50. It's made an inverse head and shoulder bottom since last August 2015. We're right on the neckline as we're recording this at 3.75. Mm-hmm. We close here. I think it'll continue higher. This one has a target of 6.6. Really awesome setup. One of the nicest charts out there.
That's nice. 6.6. It's nearly double your money. If you can buy on a bit of a pullback here, you can nearly double your money on that one.
Right at the entry. So, you know, we're at 3.75. We're wrong if we go back below 3. So it's a good looking setup.
Star. And you are a star, Nicola. And if you can send me the charts as annotated by your fine hand there, I'll put them on the Vox site there and people can see the charts and listen to the podcast and learn and listen as they learn.
Nice. Hope so. Thanks.
Have a nice weekend, Nick.
You too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. It's Simon French. Good morning, Simon.
Morning to you, Justin.
Now, I've got to point out, you're sounding a little bit different from the last time you were on. This is basically new tech. And to me, last week's tech was better than this week's tech. But you assure me that apparently the new iPhone 7, when is that out then?
Well, Tim Cook will, when the iPhone 7, I'm not sure quite when the release is. I think towards the end of this year, normally pre-Christmas for the Christmas trading. But there's certainly rumours that it will not have a headphone jack, and therefore, as a result, everyone's going to have to go wireless in terms of their headphones. So I've tried to be an early adopter. I apologise that the quality's not quite up to the required standards.
Well, I forgive that, because you're an early adopter. That's fine there. And okay, so let's look at three macro issues that you're thinking about of late. And it's, I'll flag it up. So basically, we're talking about the Fed, Japan, and a new word you're trying to get out there. So let's start off with, at 3 p.m. today, head of the Fed head, Janet Yellen. What's the thoughts here, Simon?
Well, Janet Yellen speaks at the Jackson Hole Symposium, that meeting of central bankers. It's the central bank equivalent of Davos, isn't it? And they get together for some fairly dry conversations about new central bank targets, new mandates, the legacy of negative interest rates. But actually, the real attention, certainly the market's attention, will be and should be on what Janet Yellen says about the path of the US interest rates. The backdrop to this is that her deputy, Stanley Fisher, did a speech over the weekend which was quite hawkish, suggested that the UK, the US economy is in a good position to absorb higher interest rates. And then we've had Esther George, who's quite a hawk on the FOMC, also indicate that she would vote for an increase as early as September. So Janet Yellen really, as the chair, sets the tone for where she thinks US rates should head. And one of the one of the interesting aspects about her is she's really been influenced by the labour market data, which really doesn't make a compelling case. Certainly the labour market inflation data doesn't make a compelling case for a rate increase. But the change in tone from other Fed members suggests that they're worried about the legacy of low interest rates and where financial stability risks are building up. So they may look for a preemptive rate rise, maybe even early as September. And I think that would rattle markets if it came to pass, because it's certainly not in keeping with the where the bond market sees US rates going.
Yeah, I saw somewhere in one of my updates this morning, I think it was currency traders are seeing like a 42% chance of the hike being in December. But so September will be, what, a bit of a surprise, you're saying?
Yeah, so we're looking at, on the Fed futures, looking at about 30% for September. Okay. But clearly some comments from Janet Yellen, which points to September being a live meeting in her eyes. And of course, this will be subject to next week's non-farm payrolls and other macro data, because let's not forget the Fed are data dependent. But certainly any comments in that space would bring that Fed fund futures rate higher, and I think equities would sell up as a result. The dollar would strengthen, treasuries would weaken, and the yields would go higher. And certainly that would be a reversal of some of the more recent trends, which have really reacted to a flattening in the Fed path.
Yeah, okay, let's look at Japan. They've constantly had a problem with inflation, haven't they, for the last, I don't know how many years now, and their Abenomics don't seem to be working, and they've had some figures out, haven't they?
They have. So overnight, we found out that in July, the rate of inflation in Japan fell even further to 0.5%. 0.4% negative was the June figure. And also, there was some core inflation data, which had been in positive territory. 0.5% dropped down to 0.3%. And also Tokyo gives an advance. It gives a one-month forward view, and that fell even further as well. So a really bad set of data for Governor Kuroda and the Bank of Japan as they try and push inflation higher. I mean, you talk about this is not a new problem. I was looking at the back data, and bear in mind the Bank of Japan, like most central banks, have a 2% inflation target, with the brief exception of 2013 into 2014, when they did a rather botched sales tax increase that pushed inflation higher. We haven't seen a sustained bout of inflation around 2% since 1992. So really, this is more than two decades of undershooting their inflation target. And therefore, we're not so much talking about Bank of Japan credibility. We're just talking about whether they have the tools at their disposal, given the nature of the Japanese population, the nature of yen movements as a safe haven in a time when people are worried about global growth, whether actually they have the toolkit to ever get back to 2% in the current environment.
Yeah, and it's a marked contrast. Like the US there, we just mentioned, I mean, they're the only economy thinking of tightening, aren't they? And everyone else, so I mean, that's where, there in itself is a big issue, isn't it? They're the only ones,
strengthening. We started the year where most strategists and economists in the city were talking about the divergence trade, because, of course, the Fed was planning four rate rises at the start of the year, and they're still trying to eke out one, and we're into August, late August. But you're absolutely right to point to the fact that the Bank of Japan, the ECB, the Bank of England, and the People Bank of China are all in stimulative mode at the time when the US is considering a rate increase. Actually, for Japan and for inflation, what they really need is for the rest of the world to join the Federal Reserve in considering tighter monetary policy, which will, of course, translate through to the yen and a weaker yen, which may push inflation back into the economy. But that is, it's a really sobering fact for policy leaders in Japan that they're not in control of their own destiny. And that's why conversations about helicopter money and further move into negative rates are so widely held at the moment.
Okay. And the reason you are chief economist is because you're a thought leader, Si. And, at the forefront of your mind today is a new word. What is it?
Well, I'm going to give you Brexit. Brexit, not Brexit. Mm-hmm. Why do I say Brexit? Because And this is, I've been staggered by how frequently the word, Brexit hasn't or has delivered these outcomes, economic outcomes. Well, of course, Brexit it means the UK outside the European Union. Unless anybody has been misled, we're not outside the European Union. And on triggering Article 50, and best estimates is that won't be until Easter next year, there'll be then a two-year window where we negotiate, the UK negotiates its exit from the European Union. So we're probably 2.5 years away from Brexit. So what is that intervening period called? I'd call it Brexit. Let's see whether we can get it to catch on.
Let's get the hashtag on that. And let's see how far it'll float. Marvellous. Si, thanks very much. Speak next week.
Cheers, Justin. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are a new entry, but it's a very popular stock. At five, 88 Energy, ticker 88. At four, it was actually yesterday's suggested one for your watch list. I've seen it on Twitter mentioned quite a few times. SigmaRoc, SRC. At three, down from one, it's Challenger Acquisitions, CHAL. At two, a new entry, also rising strongly recently, Alexander Mining, AXM. And at one, of course, from yesterday, I had the CEO on. It's the most followed stock in the last 24 hours, and phenomenal stats we had yesterday from this podcast. CloudTag, CTAG, worth putting on your watches, I'd say, because lots of people are. Okay, a new feature. The most liked and disliked RNSs on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Last week. They were. So these are the most disliked. At two, African Potash Holdings and Company. I think Bergen reduced their stake there. And at number one, the most disliked RNS was the Bushveld Minerals Completion of Placing, BMN. Oh, I don't know what that was. But these are the top three most liked RNSs. At three, Kibo Mining. MCPP update, that's their prior buyout coal to power project update. They've signed a new agreement with SEPCO that showed they didn't need equity dilution, which is very good. At two, Challenger Acquisitions. Madison Capital Markets court case dismissed, which is good. And at number one, the most liked RNS this week was Asia Met Resources half year results, which is surprising. It's a very popular stock. But they're heading in the right direction, and they're doing everything that Tony Maligny said he's going to do. And I think what's going to give them a big boost now is when they guarantee those licenses, production licenses for Butong and Jilai. All right, here is the one suggestion for your watch list today. It's a revisit, like I said, from originally submitted in April the 6th. And it's from Mark, and it's Buckley Energia, BKY. What does the company do? It's a uranium miner in Spain focused on bringing its wholly owned Salamanca project into production, commencing initial development mid-2016. So they started that. How many shares does the company have in issue? That's 200 million. What's the current price and market cap? Now, this was 27 pence, 48 million market cap when it was first suggested in April. Now, 44 pence, 88 million market cap. But it has been higher. It's been above 50 pence. It's come back a little bit. What revenue, profit or loss does the company generate? The loss, as stated in their quarterly report for 3 months to the 30th of June, was $4 million. How much cash or debt did the company have? Cash, as stated in their quarterly report for 3 months to the 30th of June, 2016, was $11.3 million. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, I'm on the edge of a sneeze here. Large value uranium asset in Spain with large upside potential. Now, I've updated this a little bit. They will have the largest uranium mine in Europe, with the eighth largest in the world. That is enough to power the whole of the UK's energy needs for 5.5 years. The asset is located in an area called Zona 7. There are also belief that the resource will become bigger with more research. They have another 11 high-priority targets that are similar geology to the signature of Zona 7. So it seems good there. Two, outlook for uranium prices are very good. Large margins, even at today's depressed prices. And I know for a fact that India and China are bringing on power plants because uranium obviously needs that. It's a supply deficit, demand will go up and supply is going down at the moment. So anyway, the definitive feasibility study confirmed the Salamanca project will be one of the world's largest low-cost producers capable of generating strong after-tax cash flow through the current low point in the uranium price cycle. So, a couple of figures here, but have a listen to this. Over an initial 10-year period, the project is capable of producing an average of 4.4 million pounds of uranium per year at a C1 cash cost of $13.3 per pound and a total cash cost of $15.06 per pound, which compares with the current spot price of $26. So near enough double, almost, pound, and a term contract price of $41 per pound. So during this 10-year steady-state period, based on the most recent uranium cash forward curve of uranium prices, the project is expected, listen to this, to generate an average annual net profit after tax of $116 million. That's per year. Net profit after tax, $116 million per year. Now, considering the market cap of this company is $88 million, you can see the upside. You know, you've put a forward, say, PE of 10, even my studio's falling apart with the thought of that. If you put a forward PE of 10, that's 1 billion. Even if you put a forward PE of 5, of course, it's half a billion. It's still a lot of potential here. And number three, major players backing the group, including BlackRock, the biggest there, fund manager, Anglo-Pacific Group, Resource Capital Fund, which is the largest private equity in the mining space. On the 16th of August, Fidelity International became a substantial holder and purchased a total of 10 million shares, representing over 5% of the company's issued share capital. WH Ireland has a target price of £1.20, and Fincap has a target price of £1.13. So that's a Buckley Energia. I'd say worth putting on your watches. Do your own research, please. I think definitely worth putting up there. And that's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.